I have this stool up here. And this is kind of, for me, I won't stay in this stool, I'm sure, but it's kind of like a comfort for me to be up here. It's, you know, some people hide behind podiums. I don't really do that. When I was a Young Life leader, at Club Talk, I would always have a stool. And so I got very used to just speaking in front of people with a stool. And it's kind of easy because you can have your stuff right here and you're a little relaxed. So anytime I speak publicly, I like to have a stool. So that's my little story with the stool. Pastor Mark asked me to share, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I said, yeah, I'd like to share. And I kind of had an idea what I was going to share. And it had been a few days, and Jess was like, well, are you going to speak? I'm like, yeah, I think I am. And so then she's like, well, what are you going to speak on? I'm like, well, you know, gay marriage has been a lot in the news lately, and homosexuality and things like that. And she's like, really? You need to pray about that. You need to pray about this, because I don't know. And in truth, anytime you talk about human sexuality, I feel like a health teacher now, if you guys remember health, but anytime you talk about human sexuality, it's kind of an uncomfortable subject for people, and it's understandable because it's a very personal thing. But what I want to talk about is homosexuality today, and the church. It's been in the news so much. I mean, it's kind of crazy because our president just came out about 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago or whatever, and said that he was for marriage equality. And, you know, equality is a great term. Equality sounds nice. I think everybody wants, you know, equal rights. Everybody should have equal rights, right? So, marriage equality. The truth is that homosexuality is nothing new to this world. In fact, you find the first example of it in Genesis chapter 19. I'm just going to read a quick story from Genesis chapter 19. It's about Sodom and Gomorrah. If anybody who knows anything about Sodom and Gomorrah knows that it wasn't a good place, really at all. Anyways, God had heard that Sodom and Gomorrah was a very wicked place, and so he decided to send a couple of angels there to go check it out. And here's the story. That evening, the two angels came to the entrance of the city of Sodom. Lot was sitting there. Lot was Abraham's relative. Was he brother? Cousin? I don't remember, actually. Nephew. Thank you. Lot was sitting there, and when he saw them, he stood up to meet them. Then he welcomed them and bowed his face to the ground. "My lords," he said, "come to my home and wash your feet and be my guests for the night. You may then get up early in the morning and be on your way again." "Oh, no," they replied. "We'll just spend the night out here in the city square." But Lot insisted. So at last they went home with him. Lot prepared a feast for them, complete with fresh bread made without yeast, and they ate. But before they retired for the night, all the men of Sodom, young and old, came from all over the city and surrounded the house. They shouted to Lot, "Where are the two men who came to spend the night with you? Bring them out to us so we can have sex with them." So Lot stepped outside to talk to them, shutting the door behind him. "Please, my brothers," he begged, "do not do such a wicked thing. Look, I have two virgin daughters. Let me bring them out to you, and you can have them as you wish. But please leave these men alone, for they are my guests and are under my protection." "Stand back," they shouted. "This fellow came to town as an outsider, and now he's acting like our judge. We'll treat you far worse than those other men." And they lunged toward Lot to break down the door. But the two angels reached out, pulled Lot into the house, and bolted the door. Then they blinded all the men, young and old, who were at the door of the house, so they gave up trying to get inside. That's the first example. And as you see, that point in time, homosexuality was viewed as a wicked thing, like what Lot said. Is it bad today? That's a legitimate question. It's a question that we need to answer. You know, the truth be told, that people who practice homosexuality, I think, have been persecuted, have been judged, have been mistreated for thousands of years. You look in Scripture, and we're going to delve into that in just a little bit. Throughout the course of Scripture, what does it say about it and whatnot. But, you know, up until even recently, you know, even the Nazis, pre-World War II, homosexuals were some of the first people to go into the concentration camps. And so you see that, I don't know, they faced a really uphill battle. And I think about it, when I was in high school, one of the things that they passed in our government, and it was a big deal, was the don't ask, don't tell for the military. Well, what was that? That was up until the 1990s, people who were gay could not serve in the military. And they changed the rules so that it said, hey, we won't ask, you don't tell, you can serve. That was the new policy. And just until recently here, that policy was in effect. Now it's been changed that gays and lesbians can openly serve in the military. That's something that they do now. Like I said, our president and vice president stated that they were for marriage equality or for gays and lesbians to marry. A lot of times we hear, I remember hearing this the first time and thinking that can't be true. This was there again when I was in high school. And I'm going to share with you guys a story about when I was younger, one of my first experiences where we ran into an area that was known for homosexual activity. But a lot of people would say, well, I'm born that way. You know, I can't control who I love. And I can't change who I am. Is that an accurate statement? Is that the truth? Is it a fair statement? It's something that we need to know. We need to understand. Because it's something that people say. And I remember hearing that for the first time when I was in high school and saying, that can't possibly be true. But I tell you what, today, there are far more people who just believe that a segment of the population is born that way. It's just who they are. And that they have no control over it. And so I think we should think about, is that an accurate statement? It's a question we need to ask. Just like I shared earlier, marriage equality. When we talk about that, you think of, it's kind of a positive terminology. It's a nice way of saying that gays and lesbians should be able to marry. When you talk about marriage equality. It sounds, sounds like it should be fair, right? I kind of liken it to, personally, my view on it is, when you think about abortion, you have pro-choice and pro-life. Okay, both sound good. But really, pro-choice is, I'm pro for a woman having the choice to kill her unborn baby if she wants to. That doesn't sound nearly as good, does it? It sounds horrible. So, same thing with a lot of terminology that goes along with homosexual activity that is being used today. As we hear things, are they accurate? Pro-choice is an accurate statement, but it's an incomplete statement. You know what I mean? And when you think that thought through, you realize how bad it really sounds. So, what I want to do now is we're going to go through kind of what the Bible says. We're going to kind of step through. It's not a conclusive study or anything, but just kind of go through from the Old Testament up through the New. That we're going to talk about, does it really apply today? Because that's a question that is out there. And then after that, I'm going to kind of share with you a little bit of what I believe. And my goal here is not to make you believe what I believe. My goal here is to really have an intelligent discussion about this topic. See, now Jess has, she teaches biology at the high school, and that's my wife right here, actually, my lovely wife. She teaches biology at the high school, and one of her units that she has to teach is evolution. And every now and then she'll get a student who says, you know what, that's against my religion, I'm not going to learn about it, I want to go to the media center. And to me, they're really missing out on an opportunity to learn about something that, yes, they disagree with, but they can learn about some of the things about why they disagree with it. You know, evolution, you know, has a lot of holes, has a lot of imperfections, has a lot of things that don't go along with creationalism. And if you have an in-depth thought process, rather than just saying, oh, well, it's, you know, I've been told it's bad, so it's bad, understanding why it's wrong is a much better concept to have. So then you actually have a real answer for when someone asks you a real question about something, other than, well, I've just been told it's bad, so it's bad. Fair enough? Okay. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to walk a little bit through here. I don't want to spend too long on it, but Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through the end of the chapter. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. This is my Bible. I got this translation a couple years ago. I really like it a lot. In fact, every time I speak publicly, I say that. Just is worded really well, I think. It's not the only version out there, and it's maybe, I'm not saying it's the best. It's just what I happen to like at the moment. Then the Lord God said, this is verse 18, "It is not good for man to be alone. I should make a helper for him who is just right." So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them, and the man chose a name for each one. He gave names to all the livestock, all the birds of the sky, and all the wild animals, but still there was no helper just right for him. So the Lord God caused man to fall into a deep sleep, and while the man slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. At last, with an exclamation point, the man exclaimed, "This is the bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man." This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Now the man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. So here we have the description of, what, Adam and Eve. So, kind of the running joke, it's not really a great one, but, you know, the running joke is it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Okay? I mean, but there is some truth to it in the fact that God made a woman for man, and that the two become one. And that's something we need to know when we talk about marriage. You know, that's today's topic. Should gay marriage be allowed? You know, that's a vote that we have in Minnesota next November, is for the marriage amendment. So it's something that we should be aware of. If you go to Leviticus, this is where it really gets interesting. How many have ever read Leviticus here? Anybody ever read it? It's one of those books. And chapter 18 is really a chapter. Let's see. The topic for the beginning of chapter 18 of my Bible is forbidden sexual practices. And God has a lot of rules here that have to do with a lot of things as far as who people should have sex with, basically. I don't know how else to say it in a nice way. But we get to verse 22. And my Bible says this: "Do not practice homosexuality. Having sex with another man is with a woman. It is a detestable sin." And then chapter 20, verse 13. "If a man practices homosexuality, having sex with another man as with a woman, both men have committed a detestable act, and they must be put to death, for they are," excuse me, "guilty of a capital offense." All right. I've had a cold the last few days. It's been a little rough on me. it's kind of a big deal. Capital offense. And in the Old Testament, it's called a sin. That was written, I don't know, 4,000 or 5,000 years ago. I don't know the exact date that this was written, but a long, long, long time ago that this was written. So, one of the questions is, okay, well, that was Old Testament. But New Testament, you know, Jesus came along, and he never really said anything against it. So, if Jesus didn't say anything against it, well, maybe he was for it. If fact, there are some churches out there that believe that homosexuality is okay. The one that I can think of in the Twin City area is the Church for All God's People. And they have a march in the summer, and you see it on the news. You see all that stuff. So let's look at what Jesus said. We can't, and it is true that he never did say anything against homosexuality, but he did say something else. Matthew 19, you're going to find a little bit of familiarity here in something that I read at the very beginning. Matthew 19, verses 1. We're kind of delving through a lot of scripture here, but it's good because that's what we need to do. In fact, we can start in verse 3. Some Pharisees came and tried to trap him with this question. Should a man be allowed to divorce his wife for just any reason? Wait a minute. This isn't about homosexuality. No, it's not. But it's about marriage. Haven't you read the scriptures? Jesus replied, they record that from the beginning, God made them male and female. And he said, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Since they are no longer two but one, let no one split apart from what God has joined together. So here you have Jesus explaining that a marriage is between who? A man and a woman. That simple. And you know, one of the things that came to my mind is, okay, so Jesus is perfect, right? Right? Okay, right? He was the Son of God. Never sinned. He was perfect. And it's like everything that he did when he was here on this earth had purpose, you know? He always was saying something or helping someone, or he'd be on his way going to heal someone, and someone would stop him, and he'd take the time, and he'd heal them, or he'd always have something good to say. You know, they'd try and trap him with something, and he'd have just the right answer, right? Did Jesus get up into heaven, you know, after he had died on the cross and risen and gone back up to heaven? Did he get up there and go, oops, I messed up. I forgot to tell them that it was okay to be a homosexual. Did he do that? I don't think so. I really, really don't think so. And the truth is, he never said anything against it, but he never said anything for it either. And I mean, you'll hear people who genuinely believe that, you know, God thinks it's okay. Well, let's look a little farther into the New Testament scripture. There's just a couple more here, and then I'll be done. Romans chapter 1. Verse 24, this is a good chapter, but verse 24, this talks about kind of the fall of man and how he had kind of become wicked, and God gets to this point. He says, so God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired, and as a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshipped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex, instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relationships with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty that they deserved. And then if we flip just over to 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 9. Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? That's a very simple statement. Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves or greedy people or drunkards or are abusive or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. We got to read verse 11, though. Verse 11 is a good verse. Some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. You know, when we really look at it, I feel like Scripture is very clear as to God's view homosexuality. It really is. So the question is, today, what do we do today as a Christian in a world that isn't all Christians, right? How do we live that out? How do we flesh this out? How do we make it something that we can actually do? You know what I mean? Should we live and let live? You know, just, well, that's the way they're going to be. And, you know, if they want to get married, well, that's fine. It isn't going to change my marriage personally, right? Because I know what I believe, and, well, they want to get married, fine. I mean, that's a question. It's a real question to answer. One of the things, to me, this is simplifying it as simple as I can make it. I don't know how else to make it any more simple. It's this question right here. If we know that God doesn't support gay marriage, then why would we? That's just as simple as I can make it. Now the question is how do we personally react when we have an encounter with someone who practices homosexuality, whether it be openly or whatever? One of the things when I was just out of high school, I worked at this pavement maintenance company. I don't think my wife has ever even heard this story. I worked at this pavement maintenance company. And so I worked with this other guy, Dave. I wish I could remember his last name. He was a year or two older than me, and I didn't know him at all in high school because he was a year or two older, and he was a real popular guy, kind of a flamboyant guy, got along, you know, was a cool guy. I think he was really good at track. And anyways, so I spent a lot of time with Dave, and no, Dave is not homosexual. You were starting to think about that. But Dave was a cool guy. Sometimes I love being around non-Christians because the fun thing about them is a lot of times they'll talk about anything. And it's amazing. So he and I would talk about all sorts of things. And I had my beliefs. And I really enjoyed it because I wasn't to the point where, you know, his lifestyle tempted me at all. But we would talk about all sorts of things. And he would ask questions and I'd kind of say what I thought. And I'd ask him questions, and he would tell me what he thought. And it was good, you know. Dave was, and he would party, and he had a girlfriend that he, you know, lived with at college and all this stuff. So that's Dave. He's a pretty cool guy. And so we're down the cities, and we did this pavement maintenance company. We were like the two guys who would kind of go ahead of the rest of the crew and get the job site ready. So when they got there, they could get to work in the parking lot fast. So we'd be there, we'd be cleaning it up, sweeping off the dirt and getting stuff ready. So when they got there. And so we'd be sent ahead on jobs all the time to go get it ready. And we're sent ahead and we're down in the cities and we're kind of two country boys, right? And we had these map books. Those of you who are probably, maybe you know about these big thick map books, and this was, you know, we're going on 15 years ago, but you'd have the street name, and you'd flip to the page, and it'd get you there, and you'd figure it out, right? And we were lost down in, like, the heart of Minneapolis, where it's like, you know, you go one street, it's one way this way, then it's a one way that way, and then there's not a street because there's a building, you know, all this stuff, and so we're just totally lost. And we're stuck down here, and we finally pull into, like, this little, I think it was like a market or something, I don't know, and it was, you know, we're both kind of country boys, so anytime you're in the city, it's kind of like, oh, city people, you know, it's kind of weird. And we're sitting in the truck, and he's like, oh, I'm just going to ask someone where we are, you know, or something, you know. And we had these two-way radios, you know, on our next telephones that you'd beep in and, you know, hey, we're trying to get a hold of people at the office so we can, we're just trying to get out of here, you know, to get where we need to be. And we weren't able to reach him. So he goes out and he asks the guy, and the guy's, I don't know if he's walking his bike a long way, and he was, Didn't have a shirt on, had his nipple pierced, which is strange, but we're in the city and there's strange people all over the place. Dave gets directs to this guy. He comes back into the truck and he's like, and this is Dave. He said, you know, I don't want to say there's anything wrong with it, but I'm pretty sure that guy was gay. You know? And I mean, literally growing up in Cambridge, I never really knew of anyone who was gay. You know, growing up for me, I mean, if you wanted to really insult someone, you'd call them gay. You know, and then they get mad at you and you tackle them or you throw them on the ground or, you know, that was just what I grew up in. And so, like, 30 seconds after Dave gets back in the truck and he's like, I think he was telling me to go here. One of the guys from the office, you know, beeps in, hey, you know, where are you guys? I go, oh, we're near Loring Park. And we don't know anything. They say we're two country boys. And he beeps back and he goes, You guys gotta get out of there. There are gay people all over the place down there. I mean, that's our experience. And so, I mean, we, you know, kind of like, you know, after David just bumped into this guy and, you know, we're like, oh, we gotta get out of here, you know. So we hop out and 2 minutes later, the guy beeps in, you know, are you guys okay? Like, oh, what was really gonna happen? But, you know, a pretty large chunk of society finds the idea of homosexuality fairly repulsive, actually. And that's why, you know, you see that people who practice it feel like they're persecuted. Because it's just easy, it's really easy to look at something that you really don't understand, that you find repulsive. It's easy to not be nice towards it at all. You know what I mean? To be very rude, to say something that would hurt their feelings. I mean, it's very easy to do that. And you know what I think today, and I was talking with Mark a little bit, you know, if Jesus were here today, you know, it talks about he would eat with the sinners and the tax collectors. I think if Jesus were here today, he would have gone to someone who is an openly homosexual person, openly gay, openly lesbian, would have gone to their house, would have had dinner with them. He would not have been afraid to talk to them and to be seen with them. But he would not have compromised his values either. And I think he would have, being that he was perfect, he seemed to have a way of really speaking truth into people's lives that made a difference. Especially when you see the people who, you know, in the Old Testament, or in the New Testament, excuse me, when he was here, the tax collectors and sinners, man, they were drawn to him. And I think he would speak truth in a way to people who practice that would do something to them that would probably convict them of their sin, but make them want to turn from it. You know, I was talking with Larry a little bit before service. One of the things they say about homosexuality is, you know, I was born that way. Well, the truth is, about half of people who ever practice homosexuality convert to heterosexuality. But they would tell you, you know, I think we've all heard that, well, you can't expect me to change who I am. It's, you know, I can't control who I love. When the truth is that there's a lot of environmental aspects that contribute to homosexuality that are proven more so than I was born that way. In fact, there are no conclusive studies, none, that would point towards it being something you inherited or that you were born that way or any of that stuff. Nothing. You're told that, but there's nothing to back it up in truth. But if you say something long enough, sooner or later people believe it. So how do we react to that? That's the question I think, you know, we need to answer. And you know what? We're all different, so I think we should all react differently. But we got to remember this, that Christ died for sinners. And that apart from God's grace, I am absolutely no better than a sinner. Someone who, whether it be someone who practices homosexuality, whether it be someone who murders, whether it be someone who steals. I'm no better than them, apart from God's grace. It's that simple. And so when we realize that we are not necessarily better, then we're not going to look down on someone like that. And when you realize that you're not better than someone, it's easier to speak to them in terms, it's easier for you to take into account their feelings, their thoughts, and their reactions into what you're going to say. You know what I mean? And the truth is that Christ offers freedom from that. He really does. And the other thing that we don't hear about is that, and I did a lot of reading, a lot of studying, and there's a lot of really good websites out there, actually. And I did print up one. I had a problem with my printer this morning, but I did print up one very good article on homosexuality. Except for I missed the front page printer. But so if anybody would like that, I could certainly give that to you. But there's just so much good information out there. One thing you don't realize is that the lifestyle of homosexuality is fairly unhealthy. Higher depression rates, higher suicide rates, more likely to be murdered. There are a lot of health problems that go along with that activity. I'm not going to get into it. I was reading this article, and what Jess was asking, like, what are you reading? I'm like, I can't say this out loud, but you can read it. I mean, things that you just, but it's true. They know that about 70% of the AIDS cases in the U.S. are homosexual men. That's a high percentage. You know, it's not something that you just go, oh, well, it's just an anomaly. That's amazing. You know, they get into the promiscuity and all this stuff. I mean, it's the lifestyle itself is not healthy. And, you know, one of the things that Mark always says is that, you know what, God's ways work. They do. And they make sense. And the things that he has put in place are kind of safeguards. You know, all those rules that he had for Israel was just things to keep them from hurting themselves almost. You know? You know, there's so much proof out there when you talk about gay marriage. How they want to just be normal, how they want to have a family too. Well, there's a very, very small percentage of homosexual people who actually have children because it doesn't actually work well. You can't actually have a child with someone of the same sex. It's about maybe, I think it's about 10% of people who practice homosexuality in the U.S. have children. They just want to be normal. But there's so much proof out there that, I mean, overwhelming proof that the nuclear family, which is a man and a wife, or a husband and a wife, excuse me, and children, that nuclear family, that's what they call it, is the absolute healthiest, best environment for children to be raised in, bar none. And, I mean, we could get into, there's so much, I mean, you look at all the children that are raised out of wedlock now and all these things. And I see it. I've seen it working in youth ministry, you know, in even some of my friends' lives that I know, some people that I know. You see how the nuclear family is really a building block of society. And as that's broken down, things have gotten worse and worse and worse. That was a really a big tangent, actually. But anyhow, so what I want you guys to do, the point of this message, like I said, was to have an intelligent discussion. And so that we really understand why we believe what we do. I would encourage you to go out and look for yourself. There's some really good websites, Christian Research Institute, the Family Research Institute. Brian sent me an email. This is on the kind of the marriage amendment and the gay marriage, which I didn't really get into today because there's too much material to cover, and I didn't want to keep you guys here for 2 hours. The Minnesota Minnesota Marriage. What was the Minnesota Marriage org? MinnesotaMarriage.org, which has to do with the amendment that's being passed. There's just a lot of really good stuff out there. And like I said at the beginning, this is kind of a difficult subject to tackle, but it's something that we do need to face as Christians. And we need to have a right stand on. And like I said, you know, I'm not up here to bash or to be a gay hater or a homophobe, all that stuff. That's not right. You know, because God loves them too. And he wants to set them free from their sin, whatever it may be. And so it's important to realize that. It doesn't mean that we need to tiptoe around the subject. I mean, Jesus offended people too. People got upset and mad at him, and actually they killed him. Strange. So it doesn't mean that we need to be afraid of making people upset, but it does mean that we need to speak the truth in love and try and just bring freedom into people's lives. And not everyone accepts that, and that's fine. That is their choice. You know, we don't need to be afraid of it. So, I tell you what I'll do. I'll pray, and then we'll be done for the day. Look, 11:15, that's about when Mark gets done. It's not bad. So, Father, we thank you very much for today. And I thank you, Lord, for this message, something that is a timely thing in our society, and something that I think we really need to stand for, is the marriage that you've created, and that you intended for us as people. And so, Lord, I just ask that as we go about our day and our week, and as we hear about all the different things that are going on in this world, Lord, that we'd be able to sort out and sift out your truth from, you know, man's ideas. Father, just give us the wisdom how to go out and react and talk and interact with people who have much, much different views than we do. Father, we ask and pray that in your name, in the name of Jesus. Amen.